Should we just do like a collective sigh?
We made it.
Wow. Wowee.
We got through it all in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. Wow. I feel emotionally and physically drained, but so excited to talk about the Saturday night of 2023 that we will remember for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. The Eurovision Grand Final has happened, and we're going to go through it all on this edition of Nulpois!
Nulpois is shameful.
Nulpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Nulpois is no fun.
That's it, everybody. It's the end of Eurovision for another year. And my goodness, what a nail-biter this one was. Yes, of course, this is Nulpois. I am Laura. That is Martin. And we've got a big debrief session. We have to say, Sweden won. First female performer to win twice. Sweden now tied with Ireland for most wins, 7. So a couple of big records being broken there.
Yeah, and the whole show started with some big news as well, which is that after a very long break, Luxembourg is going to be re-entering the competition next year, which is really exciting. So a kind of a bit of a historic night for many, many reasons. And yeah, there is so much to talk about. I mean, let's just get straight into it and talk about very generally, how did we find the show now that we've had, you know, a few days to kind of mull it over, to think about it a little bit. What were your thoughts on Eurovision 2023?
So in terms of the show, I thought it was a really good show. I thought the BBC put on a fantastic show that really felt very pacey. There weren't many bits where I was thinking, oh God, what's going on? And I do often tend to think that a little bit at some point during Eurovision. I thought the presenters were all great. It did feel a bit like there were too many.
If I had a pound for every time I said there are too many people presenting the Eurovision Song Contest, I would be so, so rich.
I know. I do feel like it was a bit weird having Graham up there and the three women as well. Although, I thought that they did a great job. I really thought Hannah Waddingham was great. Alicia as well. They were, you know, at Julia, they were brilliant. Did Graham also need to be up there? I felt like it was almost he was put there because of he's all been on commentating on Eurovision for all this time. So he had to be given a slot. I don't know. I couldn't actually. So I was in the media tent. I didn't get the commentary at all. When you were watching, did you have the commentary?
Yeah, we had commentary and you are going to be really annoyed because we, of course, had commentary from Graham Norton.
Yeah.
But when he disappeared, we got
Mel.
It was Mel. Obviously, Mel was Mel and she was brilliant and it was great. I wonder, maybe in hindsight, we should have just had Mel doing the commentary and had Graham Norton on and got rid of one of the female presenters. Maybe that's one option. Or not bothered with Graham Norton at all and just kept him on commentary and left it as the three female presenters who we'd had for semi-finals 1 and 2. One of those options, I think, needed to happen. I don't think we needed 4. It just looks so silly. Well, they all come out, all 4 of them, they're like, to do what? What possible work could there be that you need to divide between 4 people?
Now, you can answer this because obviously I didn't hear it. Some people were getting a bit annoyed with Mel talking over things too much. Did she rabbit a little bit?
Yeah.
She does get excited.
Yeah, she did.
I love her, though.
A little bit. She said some stuff that was funny and made me laugh. She did talk over stuff a little bit too much.
It's a fine line, though, isn't it?
It is, right? It's really difficult to get right, and it's her first crack at it. I'm not going to criticize her too much because she was good and she was funny. Aside from the songs, because we're going to get to the songs in a second.
Yeah, exactly.
What were some of your other standout moments from the grand final? I have one and I think I know which one you are also going to say as one of your standout moments.
Yeah. I think we both have the same one probably. But I'll talk about, first of all, I thought the flag parade was great fun.
Okay,
them coming up with the British hits, the kind of Chemical Brothers, And then also interspersed with the Ukrainian live acts. So we had Goa, Verka Sadutchka, we had, you know, lots of different ones. And I thought that was done with great pace again. And it felt really sort of exciting. And they were all coming on stage. And you could see it was really whipping up the crowd into a frenzy almost. Everyone was going mad in that crowd. And we should probably have a quick chat about the crowd in general, because they certainly played their part in it all. But yeah, that was one of my enjoyable bits. I have a feeling what you're going to say next, but come on, talk about one of your enjoyable points.
Well, it was obviously Dorothy Freer, wasn't it? It was brilliant. The rendition.
The Liverpool Songbook.
The Liverpool Songbook. And he did Hole Again by,
Atomic Kitten.
Atomic Kitten and the Bangles, I think. But what a great moment for him to be able to perform on the Eurovision stage at a final live there, considering that he wasn't able to do that. And he was so, as he always is, and you and I are huge fans of him, so original, so creative, so funny, but yet poignant at the same time. He's great. I also wanted to mention some of the Ukrainian elements as well. And I really think that the BBC did a brilliant job, to be honest, overall, right? But especially well done with integrating Ukraine. That was a real, again, fine line, right? And they could have gone too much. They could have gone not enough. I thought they got it just right. It felt like Ukraine's contest that was being hosted in the UK. And I thought the little touches from the postcards,
the
that
opener
worked so brilliantly. The opener, of course.
That gave me a bit of chills, I have to say. Kalish Orchestra appearing.
And by the way, just before the Ukrainian act performed, Russia launched a missile strike which hit their home city.
Yeah, disgraceful.
What must it take to be that Ukrainian performer going on and doing that? And also the presenter, the Ukrainian, wasn't she brilliant? So many wonderful moments of Ukraine's vitally important role in the contest. So that was a big takeaway. Do you want to talk about the songs then? I think we need to.
Oh, go on then, if we have to. Should we just talk about the results? Did you see Sweden winning from Loreen's performance of Tattoo?
After Loreen performed, I think it was a lot more up in the air than I'd ever thought it could be. I still wasn't surprised that Sweden won.
No, and I suppose it's worth noting that obviously that wasn't the performance that the jury took their votes off.
Of course.
That would have been the night before. So that's only the public votes that's counted for that.
I just felt like the semi-final that we saw was a much better rendition of that song than the one we got on the grand final. It was all building to that epic performance from Loreen. It wasn't quite there. And don't get me wrong, it was still amazing. And she did amazing. But it felt like that little bit special that there needed to be wasn't quite there. And I wonder whether that was the reason why, like, Finland and Sweden were actually pretty close in the end. And it
very
did kind of come down to the wires to who to do it, because it wasn't as captivating as she has been before. And we know she is capable of being.
Yeah, shall we run down actually the top 10, perhaps? That might be of interest. So in at number 10, Czechia. Number 9, Australia. 8, Estonia. 7, Belgium. 6, Ukraine. 5th, Norway. 4th, Italy. 3rd, Israel. 2nd, Finland. And 1st, of course, Sweden.
I remember watching when the public votes were coming in, and I remember thinking, it's not looking good for Finland, where not very many points for other people were being doled out. Because I was thinking, there's still like a lot of points here up for grabs.
Yes.
Right.
I thought that. So for example, when Austria was getting it in the public vote, I think it got only 16 or something.
Which is so surprising.
I know. That was a shame. I thought, felt a bit sad for them. But when, like you said, when there were so many countries only getting 20, you know, 15, I was thinking, okay, wow. Either Swinland or Sweden. I can't say either of them.
Swinland or Sweden.
Sweden or Finland or both have got huge, huge amounts of points here. And that's what I was thinking. I was surprised, I have to say, how well Israel did with the juries.
It is a good, well-written pop song, but it also, she really sold it very well. And she would have sold it well to the jury as well. They're not completely impervious to the performance, right? That is also what they're taking into account. And she delivered a performance. And I think that will have captivated a lot of both the jury and the public, which is maybe why Israel did so well. This is Nul Poir. We are going to talk a little bit later on about what happened with Kress in the press room at 2 o'clock in the morning and the press conference with Loreen. Some weird stuff from Loreen throughout the whole night, right?
Very strange.
Very, very strange of what Loreen was saying. But first, I think we need the voice of somebody else who knows what perhaps they are talking about when it comes to kind of analysing the results and crunching the numbers.
That's right. And that person is Scott Reed, someone who kind of knows what they're talking about. If you follow him on Twitter, you'll know he tweets a lot about Eurovision results and analysis. So this is exactly who we need at this point. Hello, Scott.
Hello. Someone who kind of knows what they're talking about is the highest compliment I've had.
I mean, in relation to us, you definitely know what you're talking about. That wasn't a slight.
Not sure about that.
We're going to go, obviously, into the UK a little bit. We're going to go into what happened with Sweden and Finland. First of all, I just wanted to get this bit of nonsense out of the way. This rumour that's been swirling around, of course, about Sweden winning because it's the 50th anniversary of ABBA winning Eurovision next year. Now, obviously, I think Martin and I know that that's just a load of rubbish, but I guess I just want to hear from you to sort of explain why that is nonsense. And also maybe why do these kind of rumours spread?
I think these rumours spread because of a sort of lack of explanation about what else could have been going on, or because people are just trying to find a more interesting answer than what the actual answer is. I can't see that. I do think it may also have been sparked by the little leaderboard shown at the start of the show, which was brought in to welcome Luxembourg back in, but some people might have seen that as a narrative. I don't know. I think Eurovision is a bigger thing and beyond, let's just reunite everyone for that. It seems very unlikely.
Something we hear, to be honest, every year from people is that for whatever reason, a certain song they think, oh, didn't deserve to get so few points. And I think, you know, we can take from that maybe Germany, talking about the UK here, it should have got more points. It didn't deserve to get that number of points. Could you maybe explain a little bit about how countries are actually awarded points so that we can maybe learn a little bit about why certain countries didn't get them?
Yeah, I think the problem is that, and this was an old thing in the UK where the UK would finish near the end or near the bottom or whatever, and people would go, they all voted against us, and they haven't. That's not how it works. You can't vote against a country. Basically, what's happening to a lot of countries is the song isn't necessarily disastrous. It's just not standing out. Every song has to have something that makes you pick up the phone and actively go, I am going to phone for this person. I've connected with them. I believe in what they're doing, whatever. And if it's just a nice song, then they might not do that. The other problem is that there are only really like 10 sets of points for each televote and each jury. If you finish 11th, you're getting nothing. In the same way as if you finish last in a country. So if you're not in someone's top 10, you're in a lot of trouble. The songs that finish near the bottom are often not the worst songs in the entire contest.
I think we've got to get into this, what was quite a big topic this year about the disparity between the televote and the juries. For example, Sweden, it got 243 points for the public. Finland got 376, but then the juries only gave Finland 100, only, I say, I mean, it was still a lot better than the UK, gave Finland 150 points to Sweden's 340. Such a disparity between public and jury voting. You know, what are the juries looking for that the public aren't looking for?
The juries have got a set of criteria that they will look at. How far they follow that is in their heads. And I, you know, I've never spoken to a jury member, so I couldn't tell you for certain. But there's things like originality of composition and like vocal capacity. And it's left at vocal capacity, so you can judge that as you see fit. If I was a jury member versus if I was someone phoning to vote, I'd probably come up with a different answer. Because if I was on a jury, I would, in my head, judge Sweden's performance as more polished, more slick. You know, Loreen just does everything in that 3 minutes. But as someone watching that at home, I would have loved Finland to do it. So I can kind of see the problem. I can kind of see the split there. But juries and public votes are coming at this from a different perspective. But in terms of that debate, which I know will rage over the summer, I think you need both. Because I think if you have just juries, you will end up with a song contest with a lot of very worthy songs. It will not be as much fun as it normally is. And if you have public vote only, you're going to end up with a lot of novelty.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because they brought the juries back because of that problem, didn't yeah. they? And to sort of, because there was accusations of political voting, etc. And the juries came back in, and now the juries have been in and have been re-established for a little while. Now they're saying, get those juries out. What do they know?
I know. I think the problem this year is that level of disparity. There was a point where Finland went over 500, where it was going for one brief second. They just went, have they done it? And then there's that overtake again. Yeah, there isn't a perfect answer to this, unfortunately. If someone's got them, I think we'd all be delighted to hear it. But there isn't a perfect answer to it.
Let me ask you then about other bits of the contest, voting-wise and results-wise, that surprised you, that maybe made you think, oh, I didn't see that coming.
I don't know if the UK totally surprised me, but I was disappointed in it. I remember seeing throughout that song could finish anywhere between the top 10 and last. And my concern about it was that it is a really polished radio record. It got airplay from like Radio 1, Radio 2, Capital Heart. It was all over the place. But in terms of trying to translate that on stage, I was always concerned that it's quite a number to try and pull together in a sort of Gina G versus Love Shine a Light kind of way. It's tricky to do. And also, it's got that sort of build that you get in a lot of radio songs right now, which isn't a build. It just trundles. It just goes in the background. And there's a big difference between what you want from a good background radio record versus what you need to grab you on stage. I'm just trying to think of any that jump out where I'm just going, I can't see how that could have happened.
For me, I have to say, I was a little surprised at Austria not doing so well with the public vote. And Spain also. I was quite surprised at how low Spain did. They came last in the public vote.
Austria, I fear, suffered the Jamaikas fate. Which is that they had an incredible video, but trying to translate it out onto stage didn't quite work, unfortunately. Spain, I have to admit, and as someone who wrote a story which was headlined Eurovision is back and the UK is great at it now, so I can't claim to be perfect at everything, but Spain did not surprise me in the slightest, I've got to say. It felt like, what was the song that Portugal sent a few years ago? I can't pronounce it. Telemovies?
Yeah, something. I know the one you mean, the mousy, yeah. Mousy one. Yeah.
I didn't know what the attraction was for other countries, unfortunately. Whereas Portugal now will send what they like, but they'll make it accessible. It didn't feel accessible to me. So I don't know. I was waiting for Spain to suddenly get like 200 points and to go, oh, I've got this wrong. But when it happened, I wasn't massively surprised it didn't do very well.
Let me finish by asking you this. What does a country, having looked at what happened in 2023, need to do if they want to be successful in 2024?
It basically needs to be a song and a performance which stands out. It needs to be something that isn't just a radio record, that isn't just something that sits in the background and people don't notice, but it also needs to consider both constituencies, because you've got juries and public vote to think about. It needs to have the full package. It needs to have the staging. It needs to have a song. There's a whole load of components. It's difficult to sum up as just do this and you'll be great. You need to consider both constituencies, and it needs to be something that jumps out and makes people go, brilliant, I'm voting for that. I will pick up the phone.
Yeah, I guess my sort of final thought in that case then, is there almost a worry of Eurovision songs becoming a bit more homogenous, really? And I know that's kind of a weird thing to say when we had Croatian generals and, you know, Karia and that kind of thing, which obviously feel very different. But I don't know, there is something in that, no?
I think there is. I think juries will like certain things, and juries probably come from a pop background. And if they don't get certain types of music, then there is a danger that, and the public vote will get, you know, veer towards the mainstream as well. There's a danger that other things will get lost. The plus I will say is that Finland have proven that you can take something which, frankly, is a genre smash. It's like crashing different songs into each other. And if your presentation is exciting enough and you can win people around, you can still do it.
Well, Scott, it's been fascinating crunching the numbers with you and getting your thoughts on the more granular detail on what went on Saturday night. Thank you so much. And, maybe we'll meet up with you somewhere in Sweden in 2024.
Hopefully so. I will see you later. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent stuff. I mean, there's always so much to go into, isn't there? You could spend ages just looking at everything that happened. I think one little fact I'll give you, actually, I don't know if you know this, Marcel. Could you guess, we got, for the UK, we only got 9 points from the public. Two countries, one country gave us 4, one gave us 5. Can you guess those two countries?
Oh, now then.
Think a little bit about the show and maybe who it was for.
Ukraine, maybe?
Yeah, Ukraine, yeah. Which I think kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Ukraine gave us 5 points. Thank you, Ukraine, we love you. And then this one actually doesn't surprise me.
Australia?
You think of a country that has, I mean, you might, Australia isn't a bad guess, but that has, seems to vote for us quite a lot. And
Malta?
Yeah, it's Malta. Yeah.
To the weird and crazy time of Laura Kress now, because as you might have heard if you listened to our instant reaction, I was watching the final with my girlfriend, who had gone to a lot of trouble, actually, to get herself involved in it. She made a score sheet and everything, which was really cool.
Did she have fun?
She did. She absolutely loved
Good.
It. She really
oh,
did.
Great.
Yeah, because she's not a massive like Eurovision person. And so yeah. I thought, oh, God, she's going to be sitting there bored out of her mind. But no, she really got into it. And there was bunting and snacks and all sorts. And then, like, yeah, her own score sheet. Anyway, I was doing that. And Kress was in the proper thick of it, in the media centre in Liverpool, and you were getting up to all sorts.
Goodness me. Well, I really had fun. I wasn't sure what the atmosphere was going to be like at the media centre, but there were all these big screens. We were all sitting on sofas. There were a couple of dance breakouts during Finland's song. There was some dancing, I think, during Norway as well. There's a bit of a lively atmosphere. And then when those points came out, everyone was gasping. There was, oh, everyone sort of being a bit shocked at things going on. As you probably heard in the previous episode, I did chat to those lovely Finns who were very sad that Karia didn't get through. But then I was whisked away. We had to go through a lot of upstairs and elevators into this big press conference area and all these seats in this auditorium waiting for Loreen. We were told she would come at about 12:30. Well, 1 o'clock came along and she still hadn't come through, and we were thinking, oh gosh. There was one lady from a newspaper who said, I'm just going to go, and she just left because she couldn't take it anymore. She said, it's 1 a.m. I'm gonna go, I could just get the quotes from someone else.
Yeah,
and she just
it's true.
But anyway, Loreen did turn up at just after 1 o'clock. It was quite funny because they were playing all the other songs of the contestants in the sort of auditorium, and then they played Loreen's song, so we're thinking, oh right, she's going to come on now. The song ended, they started to replay the song again. We're like, oh God, how long is this going to go on? Keep replaying the song. Then she came out and she hadn't got changed. She was still in the outfit she worn to sing Tattoo. And she still had the big long nails.
Of course.
Which
the stone nails.
Actually, someone did ask her a question about the fingernails and what they were all about. And this is what she had to say.
They're made out of stone. And I mean, the performance in itself has all the elements apart from water, but then again, I'm sweating, so. No, so I just wanted to enhance the movements because I move a lot, and this is energy, you know? So it just came to me, really. And so I enhanced it with my nails so that you can see all the movements that I do. So, yeah, it's a spiritual thing. It's a nomad thing.
So there you go, a very spiritual thing, the
yeah,
long fingernails.
The long
it's
stone
all thought
fingernails.
Through. It's one of the most surreal press conferences I've ever been to, because some of the questions were utterly bonkers. I don't know, for an international press conference, someone asked her to give a shout out to a gay pub in Clapham.
Okay, yeah.
Someone else asked her where does she buy her crystals. That was very odd. She was also quite, I've never seen Loreen get interviewed before. She's quite an odd lady.
Yeah. I got
I think
that
we
feeling.
We picked up that vibe from when she was being spoken to by the UK presenters, but she kept doing this thing where she'd say something and then she'd go, I'm serious, and then laugh, and everyone would sort of laugh with her, but also be a bit like, okay. She started to sing, like hum to herself as they were picking other people. She's just got to go on the Mike in between questions. Someone did ask her, would she team up with Johnny Logan, seeing as they both won two Eurovisions? I think she was like, yeah, why not?
Yeah, whatever.
She also is insistent that it's going to be held in Stockholm next year, but I don't think you get to pick, Loreen, to be honest. No, I don't think it's up to
it's
you.
It's not up to you, Loreen, to be honest.
But it was, yeah, it was about half an hour, and it was, I did try, I had my hand up to ask a question. I wanted to be Loreen, Laura from UK podcaster, Norpois, but I unfortunately didn't get to ask a question, but very strange experience.
Well, you were there and you were in the room, and that is what matters. Okay. Well, what an episode this has been. Thank you for listening to this and joining us on this debrief. Some people who have been getting in touch now, this is the correspondence section of the podcast, and thank you, can I just say, for keeping us company really in Liverpool with your thoughts and with your continued support of Nullpoint as we were there bringing you the episodes. Alexander is on Instagram saying, I'm so happy that Loreen pulled a Johnny Logan and won twice. I'm also glad I predicted Finland coming second. Honestly disappointed with the UK placement. Yeah, it was pretty disappointing. It should have been higher, but given elements of the performance, not completely surprised. Same with Germany coming last, but at least no null point. It's a good point. There's no null point. The only null point I want is your podcast.
Hey!
Good. More of that. Thank you, Alexander. You know, we haven't like properly talked about the UK's performance.
I was just thinking
really?
That. I was like, should we maybe have spoken a bit about it? I mean, we did speak about it a bit with Scott, but we should probably just do a quick sort of thing about it. I mean, there's been a few things coming out about the sound mix and how she sounded very quiet compared to some of the other artists. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, I did pick up on that. And do you know what I think it might have been? I wonder whether she just wasn't belting it out a lot. There'd been a lot about her going on vocal rest. So it could have been that her voice was kind of lacking the power that it maybe needed to give her like that full confidence. And so she was singing quite quietly. And so they were like struggling to boost her mic up to be able to be heard. But really just generally, and I don't want to make this about like bad mouthing Mae Muller, right? Because she is a phenomenal artist and a really great singer. She does great on social media, on TikTok, and she clearly has like the pop star about her. I just felt that her performance, for whatever reason, and maybe it wasn't her fault, just fell a little bit flat. She was coming out last. She really had to give it everything. And maybe she was let down by the fact that the staging was a bit kind of meh.
Well, I think there was something said. There was quite an interesting article on the BBC, actually, about people confused, not really getting the message of the song through what you saw in the background. The background was more what you would maybe see at a live gig where you're just trying to put on interesting backgrounds rather than it's all going to be a cohesive package, hasn't it? You've got to sell the story of your song through what you're seeing on stage. And I also wondered that if that's how Austria kind of lost out a bit, because people just saw a picture of Edgar Allan Poe and they were like, what is this? Is this a song about some writer? And why are they singing? You know, it's really hard to tell that quite difficult message about this is actually about the music industry. And, you know, it's a clever song, but maybe almost too clever for Eurovision. And I do wonder they needed to try and tell that message a bit clearer with the staging of the UK as well.
It lacked something. It lacked that little bit of extra that a lot of the other acts seem to have. Anyway, thank you, Alexander.
Yeah, so we went off a little tangent there.
We did. Pop Tunes UK is on Twitter and kind of talking about, as you might imagine, the UK's entry and performance. Until the UK embraces a proper multi-round knockout selection process like Melfest, we are going to struggle to be consistently good. May did a great job, but others were better. Surely now there's more interest in the Eurovision Song Contest in the UK. It's time for a proper public vote. See, now this is what happens every time, isn't it? And thank you, by the way, Pop Tunes UK, for that. This is what happens every time. People go, oh, it's the way we selected it, it's this, it's that. We've proved that we can do it with all different ways of selecting who it is. We can do it.
I also have to say, I don't agree it is time for a proper public vote, because I just think about when we did, I think, was it called You Decide or something or something like that? And it was awful. The things people picked were terrible. I think no, please let's keep it with TAP. I really do not want to see it going to a public vote. If we were ever going to do a multi-round knockout selection process like Melfest, it would have had to have been this year when there was a lot of interest in Eurovision and excitement and we'd come second. I think now people are going to be like, oh, well, you know, we came second last. Oh, let's not give it back to the public. What do they know? They haven't got a clue.
Yeah, absolutely. Couple more comments then. I'll do this one from Bookmonger, who says, Czechia was top 10. I wish Croatia had placed just a little higher. A great show, wasn't it just?
Thanks to Jill, who said, congratulations to Lorraine. While I don't rate the song, she's a credible artist with a beautiful soul. Sweden now equal with 7 wins and will put on an amazing contest. Yeah, you know, they know what they're doing. I mean, they've got a lot to follow up with. I do feel like the BBC definitely gave it their all.
A big thank you, as always, to Luke, who's got in touch with his now traditional Eurovision poem. We don't really have time to read it out on the podcast this time because we've already been yapping on for ages. But we will get to that, Luke. And
we've enjoyed it and we'll
get to it at some point. So thank you so much for that. Right. There is much to discuss in the next episode, as you might imagine. We will take a little break and we'll be coming back with some news and some thoughts and some other things to tell you. So we'll do that very soon. But from now until then, thank you for listening. Hope you've had a wonderful Eurovision 2023. And we'll roll on Sweden, right?
Yes, come on, roll on Sweden. Yes, see you very shortly. But as Martin says, we will be taking a break. Don't expect us for a little while now. We'll see you soon. We need to decompress.
We do indeed. But we'll see you again on the next edition of No Pois!